Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We appreciate you joining us today, and joining me in studio is our radio producer, Jonathan Field. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
We've got a good program lined up today. We're going to start out with Tim O'Shea, who is the CEO founder of Clearview Logics, and Tim is going to be talking to us really about decision-making and new tools evolving and, you know, how his solutions really help employees pick the right health plan. Very important as we move forward into this consumerism space and evolving private exchange space. And then following Tim will be Bill Hennessy, who is CEO and founder of Prater, a transparency firm located in Pittsburgh. And, you know, Bill's going to talk to us about, you know, medical cost savings and, you know, helping consumers really find the right choice to make, you know, for healthcare. So it'll be interesting to have Bill on, and Bill's also an Ohio State alum, so that's an extra bonus here, and he's an affiliate member, so we appreciate, you know, both of our guests, you know, coming on a little later. Jonathan, we're kind of hard at work on our new location strategy with Private Exchange Forum, co-locating with IHC Forum West. We've got some pretty good feedback from the market on this move, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you know, if you're listening out there and you haven't heard yet, we're moving our Private Exchange Forum to co-locate with our IHC Forum West, which is every November at the Red Rock Resort in Las Vegas. And it's going to be, you know, both of those conference programs overlapping with each other. You'll have the choice to take Private Exchange specific content if you want and our greater health and benefits content on the other hand. So, you know, we're still kind of, you know, at work, as you said, on putting those two programs together. But, you know, so far, it's looking great.
Yeah, and we've got really good feedback from our sponsors that were with us in Baltimore and those that we're considering. Many of them are following us, you know, out west, into west. Same for attendees and our speakers. I mean, not everyone has been confirmed yet, but we've got really good feedback, and we're getting good feedback from the market on making this move. And, you know, so, you know, in 2017, we'll hold events in three different areas of the country. We'll have our major private exchange benefit admin, you know, event in Dallas. Those dates have been set, the 26th to 28th in March in Dallas. Our major IHC Forum and Expo will be back here in Atlanta. We're working on those dates. It'll be, you know, around the same time, third week in May. And then we'll be back out west in Las Vegas with the co-located Private Exchange Forum Las Vegas and the IHC Forum West. This means we got some good partners working with us on West, too. You know, some of the key employer coalitions are partnering to get the message out to employers. United Benefit Advisor just this week agreed to partner and promote to their broker members and get their broker members involved with us at IHC Forum West and some other key groups that we're working with. But intimately, ACRM, which is an employer's focused healthcare risk management firm, is going to produce a cost containment track. So we're really excited about that and what we're doing. And Jonathan, would you kind of go over some of the topics that they're doing with us?
Yeah, as you mentioned, ACRM will have five workshops at Forum West, one each track. Bill Lacey, the president and CEO of that organization, is currently working with various employers to kind of finalize and close out his panels. But, you know, as you mentioned, some of the topics they will be covering include direct contracting process, employer-provided pilots and medical travel. So, you know, this is just all about healthcare providers and employers working together.
Yeah, so we're excited to have that, especially going to be pharmaceutical, right? And
sure, yeah. So on, you know, as you mentioned, they also have a pharmacy benefit management workshop, optimizing your pharmacy strategy and demystifying PBM. Of course, specialty pharmacy driving up employers' costs, big issue today. They have educating and engaging the CFO, which, you know, yep. I think is critical for HR and benefits professionals to understand. And, you know, actually that's kind of really one of the main focus groups for Bill's organization. So you certainly do not want to miss that one. And then, let's see, we also have, oh, yeah, so we have the unique needs of public entities. So this is all about delivering benefits if you are a school district, if you are a municipality, a county government, et cetera. So we know those groups have unique challenges, and this is you know, a workshop that will bring in panelists representing these types of organizations and give you their kind of best practices and solutions.
And he will, as part of our pre-con package too, Bill and his group is going to work with us and Las Vegas Heels, it's a Las Vegas group, to do a CFO roundtable, primarily for CFOs of, you know, smaller to mid-sized organizations. So that'll be an interesting pre-con too. And Bill Lacey, as Jonathan talked about, he's the CEO founder of this group, is a former CFO too. So I think he has some real hands-on knowledge of that. Then we're excited about CBiz, what CBiz and Dee Eddington are doing, working with us on our well-being workshop track. We're excited about that, to have them with us. We're also going to marry Dee's and CBiz Eddington Awards, which is a well-being awards program that CBiz does. It's going to be combined with our Superstar and Innovator Awards Dinner, Invitation Only Awards Dinner, on the evening of November 9th. And, Jonathan, while we still have some of the workshops to be finalized to CBiz, I mean, you know, do you have kind of an overview of some of the things that they're doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, that's kind of very much still coming together. Their team has some great ideas. You know, they look at the total well-being, physical, financial, the mindfulness, the resilience, whatever you want to call those kind of new aspects that employers are looking at today. So, yeah, we don't have those specific topics set in stone yet, but I do know that the CBiz team is working on those, and based upon calls we've had, they really should be definitely of value to our attendees.
Yeah, so we're excited to you know, have them behind us, have Akron behind us, and other groups. We're not trying to exclude anyone else, so we're excited. If you're a speaker out there and you have a topic, you know, we still have, you know, we're still looking for speakers either to fit on existing panels or, you know, we have a couple workshop slots potentially. And, you know, obviously, if you're a sponsor out there, we'd love to have you join us with this co-located event, an opportunity to really engage with 500-plus attendees. And if you're an attendee out there, right now is the time to check out our program as it's coming together. You'll see a lot that's up there. But cost-effectively, you can take advantage of attending at our special Super Saver rate, $99 Super Saver rate, specifically for employers, you know, brokers and advisors, you know, to join us. So we hope you do take a look. And you can take a look at www.theihccforum.com. So, again, we appreciate you joining us and taking a look at joining us. And we hope we see you out in Las Vegas. Right now, I'd like to bring on our first guest, Tim O'Shea, the CEO and founder of Clearview Logic. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Doug, Jonathan.
Hey.
How are you?
Yeah, this is Doug. Tim, Jonathan, and I are both here. Hey, nice to have you on the program. Good to talk to you.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here, and I look forward to our discussion.
Yeah. So give our audience that may not know Clearview Logic a little backgrounder on, you know, yourself and Clearview Logic.
Okay. I'd love to do that. We have three co-founders. We have a business person. That's me. My physician partner, Dr. Larry Colley, who's been building patented health analytic models for decades, and a young tech whiz, I'll call him, Alan Hetzemanolis. And Larry and I started working together in the 80s, actually with Blue Cross Blue Shield here in Virginia. Besides being a medical director, he led our health outcomes research team, which I guess at the time was sort of at the frontier of what we now call health analytics. So, you know, he's been involved in analyzing how benefit design affects claim use patterns, et cetera, for really three decades. And in the early 2000s, we sort of got back together and formed a consulting slash benefits advisory firm that offered patented proprietary analytics to our clients. And that foundation of analytic work really enabled us to grow to a couple thousand employer clients and about a 30-person firm. In 2014, we exited that business and started Clearview Logics, really with the mission of making healthcare simpler for the consumer. So, you know, for a decade or so, we focused on helping employers make good decisions about what plan, what funding arrangement, et cetera, that's best for them. And we shifted gears in 2014 with really a focus on the consumer. So that's our core team. And, you know, it's really we're constantly looking for ways to make healthcare simpler.
I think it's so important to overall consumerism adoption. If we're going to have true consumerism, we've got to help employees make those right choices. I don't think every employee and consumer out there wants to understand all the acronyms that even we in this business try to understand, correct? I mean, it's a complicated space.
Yes, that's correct. You know, it's funny. I was helping my young daughter. I went with her, who was buying a car, seeking to buy a car last weekend. And we had the sales guy who just wanted to tell us all these technical terms. And I was baffled. I'm sure my daughter was baffled. We really just wanted to look at the five things that were important to us and help us make a decision based on that. And, you know, it's not too different when you're just picking a health plan.
So Tim, tell us how your solution works. Just talk a little bit about it. Get us behind the scenes and how it works and how it really helps the consumer make these decisions.
Okay. There are multiple tools out there that are in use by exchanges, or, you know, there are some broker consultants who have tools. And so there are different types of tools. And one's known as kind of a calculator model, which essentially multiplies the number of units times the cost per unit, so the number of physician office visits times the copay. And these take some pretty tedious input and really have more limited predictive value. Our model is working off of the premise that we are trying to determine through our questions, you know, what percentile user an individual is. And we do that by asking, you know, really three simple questions. You know, what their general propensity is to consume? Are there certain events that they know about or are likely to occur for them in the coming year? So an event would be something like having a baby or an elective surgery. And then the third question is condition-based. Are there any conditions that make your medical needs, you know, a little more complicated? So that could be things like asthma or diabetes or a heart condition. And so what the algorithm does is it takes all that information and says, okay, you know, Doug is a 60 percentile user, and we run that expected use pattern through the specific plan designs, copays, coinsurance, deductible, et cetera, that are available to you, and we calculate an expected out-of-pocket cost for each plan option. And so when you take the combination of the expected out-of-pocket cost and the employee's share of the premium, you really get a full financial projection or forecast of how that experience might be. And then we really show that information to the consumer for all the plans available to them so that they get a complete picture. We don't just say, hey, we think you should take the HDHP. We actually show the financial analysis for all the plan options in sort of a value setting.
When did this first deploy?
I guess I'll answer that two ways. In our employer work, when we were a consulting firm, we had developed patented models that projected expected out-of-pocket cost. At the time, for that use, we were really looking at just average out-of-pocket use. So what we did in late 2013, entering 2014, is start from scratch and building a model for the consumer so that we could predict the out-of-pocket cost. So anyway, employers started using MyClearView, our tool, in January of 2014.
Okay. And where, I mean, we talked about exchanges, and you and I, you've been with us in our exchange business. So exchanges are one distribution vehicle, one place for your tool. Are you also finding yourself integrated with these benefit admin and enrollment platforms? Is that where you find yourself too?
Yes, we are. You know, of course, the end consumer is our ultimate customer, but we have multiple ways of getting to that end consumer. And the first is direct to employers or a multi-employer consortium of some kind via a branded website. And those are typically run side by side with an enrollment platform or even a paper enrollment. Second is through broker consultants. We license a white label version of our websites to a broker consultant for their clients. And the third is through API connectivity with an enrollment platform such as an exchange, a marketplace, a payroll system, a PEO, any aggregator of enrollment. And that's, I mentioned, through API.
Right, so you can work with these employer coalitions for their members. Is that what you're alluding to, too? Is that for your direct employer?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. I did not know that, Tim, and I know you guys, but I did not know that. So you just, any of our listeners out there, that's important for them to hear. You know, where do you see health plan and supplemental health is enough to get your arms around. So, that's kind of the first step, right? But what do you see beyond that? Because all this, as we move into more full adoption of consumerism programs and private exchanges emerges, everyone know it took a little hiccup this year, but rightfully so, because it's going to be a long-term play. It makes sense. But and consumerism's here to stay. So as you see this move, voluntary and, telehealth, healthcare access, telehealth, transparency solutions, all this is emerging as part of a benefit portfolio that, employees and their families can go in there and make choice. So how do you see that evolving with kind of your footprint around decision support or decision support as a whole?
Well, we do see health plan selection decision support as kind of part of a continuum of consumer services, and we're just really, one piece of that. But we think we're one piece or the piece that can be really effective right now. I think we're really low-hanging fruit. I love the concept of cost transparency tools, but we have to have the provider reimbursement system kind of evolve a little further until those can be fully effective. But we can do a much better job as a society helping people pick the right health plan now. And so that's really where our focus has been. With our model, and I think with other decision support models, we see a significant bump or increase in the selection of high deductible plans and other consumer-driven plans. And we think it's because, the tools help the individual to understand them better, and the tools might nudge them to consider it when they may not have considered it seriously in the past. So we will see at a minimum sort of like a 15 to 20% increase in HDHP HDHP participation. And we've had some, you know, we had one recently that went from 8% of the employees to 61% of the employees in an HDHP. So part of your question, too, is the entire benefits continuum to the employees. And when we see employees pick the right plan, and if that's a HDHP, a byproduct of that is an increase in voluntary coverage participation. So they might be buying dental or a little extra life insurance or a vision plan, for example, because they have a few extra dollars that they were going to spend on health insurance, but now they're not. And so they buy something more. But I agree totally that the health plan selection is really the big one that we need to get right and help people get right.
Yeah, it's the most important first step and very complex, as you've highlighted. Hey, if I'm an enrollment firm, a broker firm, you know, exchange listening, even an employer or a coalition leader listening to this program, what's the business model? I mean, what's that look like?
Right. Well, let's start. If we sell our model directly, or let's call it license our model directly to an employer, the retail cost of that is $1 per employee a month or $12 per employee year. So 300 employees, $3,600 for the year. The site's up all year long, open enrollment through the plan year for new enrollees. And so that's the most I think someone would pay.
It's per employer per month. Got it. Okay. So per employer per month.
Yeah. That's our typical model. I'm sorry. Per employer per month. If we're working with an exchange or, you know, maybe I'll go with like a payroll company or a ben admin system, we do tend to still work off the PEPM arrangement, but, you know, the cost per employee month will be much lower because obviously we're working with tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people at one time. So that can be, you know, 20, 30 cents on the dollar, potentially, given the right amount of volume. We are also working on a license arrangement for brokers so that they can build their own sites. We have that capability now. We think they can build a decision support model branded to the employer in an hour or less. And those would be really inexpensive, too, relative to the retail cost.
Mm-hmm. Are these you know, these channels for you and these customers for you, what are some of the hurdles to get them to open their eyes and say, hey, this is something that we need to do? And, you know, obviously you have your unique value proposition, but from decision support as a whole, what are some of the hurdles that we need to get by for adoption to continue to pick up?
Well, that's a great question. And in 2016, we have seen a big uptick in demand, both from employers directly and from brokers and other players. And I think the primary reason for that is developers and employers were just tied up with compliance reporting for the last 2 years, in 14 and 15. And it really wasn't until January of 16 that rolled out successfully for most employers. So we're seeing a big uptick right now. And, you know, I think there are some, there can be some resistance sometimes with things like, oh, you know, not all of my employees have access to the internet, which I think is hard to believe these days. You know, there's a little bit of a cost resistance. We have had some success in having carriers subsidize the cost. For some employers, so that sort of takes that off the table. You know, it's funny, we always get great feedback from our employee users, and they don't really question the results. We always get into deep conversations with brokers, though, about what our model's saying and is it right. But the employees seem to take it at face value.
That's good. Now, a consumer cannot come to your site and access this tool, can they? Is there a direct
They cannot. They cannot. However, we are working, and we plan to roll out this year an HSA-specific model, which will enable an individual to kind of project their expected out-of-pocket costs and then plan their HSA fund contribution. And we're planning for that to be available direct to the consumer.
Love to have you back on when you're ready with that and talk about that. I think that's very interesting. I think that's a segment of the market that's very confused as well. And, you know, what do we do? What do we put in? Even which HSA should we have? Most of them don't know they can choose other HSAs if they choose to. So that'd be a very interesting discussion. Hey, Tim, it's been great having you on to kind of let you close here. I mean, you know, kind of close with kind of a summary of Clearview Logic's value proposition to your clients and any other takeaways you want to leave us with.
Okay, well, you know, our purpose, whether we're working through an employer or direct to the consumer, is to help them save money and to really help them make an informed decision. And if you're a broker, you know, we can help solidify your client relationship by offering a service that to your client that perhaps is not available elsewhere, and it really is really inexpensive. And as an enrollment platform, I think, you know, we can expect that over the next 2 or 3 years we're going to see decision support be commonplace, and I think you want to be a little ahead of that curve rather than behind it. You know, our model's quick and easy and easy to integrate. It was built, time-tested by a doctor. He's the author of patented decision support tools, and really the cost of decision support should be no less than one-tenth or no more than one-tenth of 1% of healthcare premium. It's really a rounding error in the grand scheme of things.
Tim, great to have you. Great to have you on the program. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, can you let them know how, please?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you for the time. It's been great to be with you. I can be reached. Our website is www.clearviewlogix.com. And it's TOSHEA@clearviewlogix.com.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate your time this morning. Great discussion. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Great. We'll see you in Vegas, if not before.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Look forward to it. Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Good stuff. I mean, it's just, I think that's one of the highlights, too, this kind of help decision shootout, one of the sessions we're going to have out west. That should be an interesting discussion because, you know, as we were talking, Jonathan, it's just, and as we've talked to many other guests, while education is important, so important, decision support kind of works along with it because the consumer doesn't want to know all the little integrated details. You know, every family's different, and if you have decision support, you can say, hey, here's the critical data about my family, and, you know, give me some ideas on what choices, right?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, you know, one of the foundational aspects of healthcare consumerism is enabling, you know, your employees to pick the plan that works for them. So I think, you know, the decision support shootout that we'll have in Vegas, everything you heard from Tim today is absolutely valuable for, and actually Tim somewhat recently penned an article on this as well. If you go to our website, you should be able to find that all about health plan decision support.
Good stuff. And I think to Tim's point, too, you're going to see it continue to mature itself. Technology is going to mature itself. Education around the importance of decision support is going to mature itself. So, again, we thank Tim for joining us on this program. Again, kind of coming back to while we wait on Bill to join us, our November co-located events, Private Exchange Forum and IHC Forum West. Just a reminder to those of you who maybe just joined us now that Super Saver rates are available at $99. And we hope you take advantage of it by going to our website, www.thehiccforum.com. And now I'd like to bring on our next guest, Bill Hennessy, CEO and founder of Prater, a transparency solution provider. Bill, good to have you on the program.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having me. It's Prater. It means price matters. It Praters. But are we going to have a field day, a Prater day, or both today, gentlemen?
We're going to have both today, and it's always good to have an OSU alumni on the phone with me, too.
The Ohio State University is well represented today, so let's do them proud, gentlemen.
You got it, Bill. Hey, listen, to our audience that might not know you and your group, give us a little background on yourself and the creation, you know, of Prater.
Well, it's this simple. The problem is skyrocketing health care costs. The cause is secret pricing, and the solution is Prater. And what we have done is worked as a team to make employer cost data go to two places at the same time. First, to a medical cost savings analysis so that an employer can manage what we measure, and also become searchable by zip code so that you can see as a consumer the charge as well as what the insurance company pays, the claim allowable, if you will, or the negotiated discount. It should be there for all to see.
Yeah, I agree. We can't have consumerism without true transparency, correct?
That's true. And the definition of true transparency is the known charges as well as known insurance payments before the time of service. A health insurance company serving as a TPA wants you to believe that a false out-of-pocket estimate with a wide range counts as cost transparency. I'm here to tell you, it just doesn't.
So what are the as you look at where we move with adoption of, you know, transparency and there may be a better term too, but I guess we'll use it for right now, right? What do you see some of the roadblocks out there that you're helping get by and roadblocks that we need to get by? You know, there's regulatory hurdles, you know, et cetera. It's the contracts behind the scenes. I mean, talk to a little bit about some of the roadblocks and where you see us making a little progress there or not.
Well, the answer does lie with employers that are self-insured, whether that's in the private sector, cities, counties, unions. They own their data. So yep. The end around is to use their data and make it transparent and searchable by zip code for all of their employees, as well as to give them a cost savings analysis that lets them know their single most expensive cost item, their second, third, fourth, all the way down to up to 600 we track. And those high cost items are targeted. In terms of hurdles, there's two, really, right? There's hospitals and there's insurance companies. They, in general, have not wanted to disclose what they charge and what they pay. Right now, they're answering to each other and not us as consumers. I do see that changing, though. Prater is founded by medical providers. Again, I am an MD. I do own a physician medical billing company. My father is the foundation director of a community hospital, and community hospitals can't afford to just remain silent on their pricing and quality. Put those two together, that equals value. That needs to be out there on behalf of community hospitals if they want to put the care back in their community, because they're just getting hammered by the big city hospitals that put on ad campaigns and drive those people with the perception that if you go to the big city, you get a better care.
Do you see, with your initiatives with Prater, Bill, and your connection with the, you know, self-insured employers, do you see more and more of these employers' light bulbs going off and saying, hey, you know, we can move the needle because it is our data?
Yes. The biggest shocker for them is the fact that in-network pricing varies by a lot. The perception is if a TPA has some negotiated discount, there can't be that much pricing variability in network. And even for an employer as small as 350 recently, we showed that had they used the lowest pricing on Prater, there was a potential $1.4 million savings on the table. And then they didn't believe that, and so we said, we're just going to show you your own little in-network, not including the better deals that can be found on Prater. And if Joe and Bob work for the same company, but they got the same care at the lowest price instead of one at a $3,000 price tag and one at a $1,000, there was still a $500,000 savings on the table in network. So they're just absolutely shocked at that there are times in which they're not being fully serviced when these prices remain hidden, so that they don't know where the best places are to go for care.
Hey, Bill, when did Prater first deploy your solution to the market?
Q2 of this year, after about 2 years of IT development and data acquisition.
Okay. And talk to us about your business model, because I think you have a unique business model. Tell us about your business model. If I'm a self-insured employer listening to this program, you know, talk to me about, you know, your business model.
Well, first, to show that there is a quantifiable return on investment at no cost for any and every self-insured everywhere, we will perform our medical cost savings analysis. Once that ROI is quantified and we know there's interest, we do have a PEPM pricing model, which is typical in the benefits industry. Prater is sold as an employee benefit, and so that's per employee, per month pricing, and that will include our cost savings analysis. We'll do that quarterly so that it can be managed, these specific high-cost items. Unlimited searches for an employee and his or her family to save on care throughout the year. A Prater savings card customized to the zip code so that they can keep it in their wallets and purses of the known lowest cost providers in their network. And if for those that have a low deductible, a dollar figure can be assigned as a financial incentive on those categories of blood work, imaging, and elective medical procedures. So Prater is specifically targeting 600 cost items that make up the fixed commodity outpatient market, where there should not be much difference at all in terms of quality. But there is in pricing because it's been hidden.
And Bill, you're focused on what markets right now? I mean, if I'm in San Jose, can I do business with you, or what markets are you focused on right now?
Well, right now, our best market is in the tri-state area of Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia. We do have a pretty good cost database out in California and Arizona, but we're happy to do these cost savings analysis for any company, and as we've shown recently in Ohio, we can save $500,000 for a group of only 350 in an area of Ohio where we didn't have strong data just by letting them know about their own pricing variation in network and publishing it on our platform. The possibility of an ROI exists everywhere. It's probably strongest right in the state I'm in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So in your distribution and your outreach to the market, are you reaching out to brokers and advisors to working with them? Are you primarily going direct to these self-insured employers, other channels? I mean, obviously we've talked about exchanges as potential markets. So what's your distribution plan right now?
Well, sure. Since the employer is our customer, we do go to employers direct, and we go through business associations. We also are partnering with some brokers, and also have discussions ongoing now with non-insurance company third-party administrators who have nothing to fear by working with us. We're on the same team. We're offering services that health insurance companies will not ever offer as a TPA, and we can work together with them. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bill. I didn't. No, so you're working with the independent TPA. TPAs.
Correct.
The independent.
That
TPAs.
Is correct.
Okay.
Yes. They're much more willing to provide a service and work in coordination with us than an insurance company that's a TPA. We love working with the independent TPAs.
So talk about the competitive landscape as you look out there and where you see the market going.
Well, right now, it's a $3.3 trillion industry, so of course there's some competition, which is okay. There's just more than Ford and Chevy when it comes to cars. But the competition has chosen to partner with Blue Shield. So if you either are the insurance company or act like the insurance company, look what's happened to the cost of health care. So again, my point is, out-of-pocket estimates don't help a self-insured company manage its costs. When we list their top 10 cost items by total expense and then by frequency and show them how many millions they can save, and they know to the dollar what each one of those costs and which hospitals and surgery centers are being utilized, that is actionable. An out-of-pocket estimate in hiding what it really costs is not actionable. That's, you know, and we are partnering with community hospitals too. Other than employers, look, if we go and get the data directly from community hospitals and put it on our platform and give them a price tag guarantee and preferred listing, they now also get a glimpse of what their competitors are getting paid. So we have become community hospital and independent surgery center friendly. Remember, I'm a medical provider. I'm reaching out to other medical providers to help keep the community care in the community.
Yep. And we have providers coming together closer to employers, too. I mean, they, you know, the whole direct contracting is going to have an impact on this market, too, correct, and around costs.
Yes, and any self-insured employer that's contracting directly with a hospital system or surgery system or a physician group could put their pricing directly on Pratter and make it very easy for their employees to search it by zip code. Two clicks, they're done. And so the local hospital here is very interested in not only putting their pricing on Pratter and not only seeing what their competitors get paid, but they want to do direct provider contracting with the self-insured companies that we're talking to. There's only three ways, right, that going into the future that self-insureds are going to lower their costs. It's going to be the direct provider contracting. It's going to be creating a healthier, narrow network, and also reference-based pricing. And our IT platform can facilitate any of those as the market evolves.
It's exciting stuff, Bill. You guys are doing some good work there at Pratter, and appreciate you being on here to discuss it. Any kind of final thoughts that you want to leave our audience about, you know, as they – because I think one of the key takeaways you're talking about is that, you know, employers are in the driver's seat. And employers, if we can get their light bulbs to continue to go off, they're the ones that's going to drive change. They're going to drive change back through the hospitals and provider system and through the insurance system. And then the consumer, too. As the consumer becomes more aware of these tools, they're going to begin to drive change. Agree? I mean, that's where change is going to come from.
You're exactly right.
So, Bill, give us some final thoughts, if you would, please.
We at Pratter, we're creating a network effect. With every new employer that onboards, everyone gets to see everyone else's cost data. It becomes that much more valuable as our database grows. So let us perform a free medical cost savings analysis. Enjoy it and use it, leverage it. And as long as there's a nice ROI for you, we're ready to do business with you. And We're publishing the hospital charges as well as the insurance company payments, known as claim allowables. You get to manage what we measure, and we just love that opportunity to finally create the savings that we all deserve for the number two cost in our companies behind salaries, which is healthcare.
You'll let our audience know how they can get in touch with you and the Pratter team.
Our website is Pratter.us, PRATTER.us. Bottom left-hand corner on our team, you can email me or any other team member. Our telephone number is online, too. Every day's Pratter Day in our world. We're happy to talk with you and work with you.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much. Always great to talk with you and to catch up with you. And, you know, we'll do it again real soon. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks. Enjoy your weekend, too. Appreciate you having
me. Take care, Bill.
Take care.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You bet, Bill. Take care. Good stuff. Good discussion today. From health decision support to transparency and healthcare access, which is decision support too. You know, helping consumers find the right choices, helping employers really better manage their costs. So appreciate both Tim O'Shea with Clearview Logics and Bill Hennessy with Pratter joining us today. We thank all of our guests and listeners for being with us today. I want to leave you with a final reminder that, you know, you can find out more about our co-located November events, Private Exchange Forum and IHC Forum West at theihccforum.com, where the program continues to evolve. You can see the current speakers coming in and the program evolving. And right now you can capitalize on $99 Super Saver rates. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.